Munenori Kawasaki.
Yes. Iconic. He's back.
He's back. He's back. For those of you who don't know, Devin Travis on the DL with an inflamed shoulder. And I've got something to say about that in a minute. I want to ask Jerry about that as well. But Munenori Kawasaki's been called up. So get down to the ballpark right now and get your tickets because the games will be sold out. I don't know about that. But I got to tell you, Jerry, I said earlier in the year, I said, if we see Munenori Kawasaki up here, it's not going to be a good thing. And I may have been overstating it a little bit, but man, the injury bug is really bitten, hasn't it?
Well, I'll give you an example. Here it is, May 22nd. Who would have thought on this day out of spring training, 18 players would have already played for both the Buffalo Bisons and the Toronto Blue Jays, and Munenori makes 18.
That is amazing. That's an amazing number.
Yeah, that's right. Either with the Bisons or the Blue Jays, 18 players have been on both diamonds in Buffalo and Toronto, and that's not good. That tells you a lot about the injuries, the demotions, the six rookies they started with. It's a tough situation for anybody.
Now, you know, I'm gonna credit you because it's like anything else. Any spring training, I think a lot of us, even those of us who consider ourselves to be cynics, we tend to overestimate players. We tend to get carried away with the optimism. And, you know, and I've told people, I had someone call me up the other day in the air, Jerry, and say, well, you know, you kept saying you were excited about this team and look where they are in the standings. And I said, well, you know, I'm still excited about them, but I'm going to admit here that I have a fatal flaw, and that is that young pitching excites the hell out of me. When I see good young pitching, even if I know it's going to be a struggle that year, it excites me because I like the young pitchers and I like what they say about the future. You were very, very, very cautious in spring training. I even had somebody on Twitter say, when did Jerry Howarth become a buzzkill? Because you were very blunt about the issues you saw this team having to overcome. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you feel like I told you so right now, but has it gone pretty much the way you thought it would go?
Well, it has from a reality standpoint. It has nothing to do with my opinion or how I might think about the team, but this is a tough game to play at this level. And if you're going to get to the playoffs, you need experienced players. You need a pitching staff that can hold leads from the seventh inning on, and maybe a rookie, maybe one rookie on your pitching staff, maybe a rookie player. But when the Blue Jays came out of spring training, I looked at a lot of six rookie players and pitchers, and I thought, whoa, that's quite a bit for asking anybody to succeed at that level. Then I also look, too, at 40-year-old R.A. Dickey, a 36-year-old Mark Burley, aging superstars at the time, Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. Now, that's a lot of weight on both ends of the spectrum there to make things happen. And what's happened? Well, let's start with R.A. Dickey. That was a good start yesterday, but it's the first time a pitcher's had a complete game, 9 innings. Burley had one in his last start in Houston. But both of those pitchers have had ERAs that have been very high. In Burley's case, he's had a lot of run support. Then you look at Jose Bautista with his age. He hasn't been able to overcome the shoulder problem that he's had. That puts a logjam there where he has to DH. Edwin has to play first. You don't use Justin Smoke. You've got a Buffalo Bison in right field, whether it's Ezekiel Carrera or Chris Colabello. Very difficult situation right there. And then Edwin, in his last 10, 11 games, hitting below 200. He hit a home run yesterday. It was big. But there's not enough production from Bautista and Edwin to win games right now. And especially when the Blue Jays are like 1-17 when they've scored 3 runs or fewer, well, that makes it difficult for a manager, for anybody to go out and win consistently, Jeff. So from what I can see and hear, 18 players have been with Buffalo or the Blue Jays. That's a difficult situation, and it is what it is. The cliche goes that way, and I think it's a tough assignment.
And, you know, we had a lot of talk last week. It seemed to coalesce last week a little bit, maybe to a certain degree earlier this week as well. But a lot of people were talking about John Gibbons' job status and what the future may hold. And I made the point that, and I know you were there as well, I remember when John Gibbons was fired the first time. And I remember how that team was playing. And I asked Alex this point blank. And I said, look, are you happy with the manager? And Alex's response was, well, am I seeing things that suggest things aren't going well? I'm seeing them play hard, and they are playing hard. There are nights where they're not a very good team because of the players they have in the field, but they have played hard by and large. I think the quality of baseball's cleaner. The quality of baseball in the field's cleaner. they're not playing. That team that got John Gibbons fired the last time played a different type of baseball. I mean, I think of that game, and I can remember you, that game in Milwaukee where Alex Rios, you know, didn't understand the ground rule. And I remember you during that game, when the call was made of that game, I could hear somebody in the booth just kind of like that sense of frustration. I don't get that yet with this team. I don't get that yet.
Well, here's the bottom line for me. In the last 6 years, including this season, the Blue Jays have been 22nd overall as far as a staff ERA, and that's the best that they have been. 22nd as far as Major League Baseball and a staff earned run average, and they've only done that twice. The other four seasons, including this year, where the staff ERA is about 5, it's been over that. So the Blue Jays basically in the last 6 years have been 22nd or worse regarding their staff ERA. You're not going to win with that. Now look at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, just to give you an example. They came in here and they won 2 1-run ball games. The Blue Jays are 2-8, I believe, in 1-run ball games. What did they do for those 2 wins? In the offseason, they acquired Joe Smith to pitch in the 8th inning, and they brought in Houston Street to pitch the 9th. They were outstanding. In the game that they won 4-3, Smith a 1-2-3-8, Houston a 1-2-3-9. The next night when they won 3-2, the scores might have been reversed. Same thing, Smith a 1-2-3-8, Houston a scoreless 9th, gave up 1 base hit. So together, they combined for 4 scoreless innings, giving up 1 hit. They were acquired in the offseason. The Blue Jays didn't acquire a lot of pitching. In fact, the only pitcher really they brought in was Marco Estrada, and they traded Jay Happ to the Seattle Mariners. Unfortunately, they had the injury to Marcus Stroman. That meant that they lost Stroman and Happ out of the rotation from the year before. It's hard to replace pitchers like that. They didn't add to the bullpen. They brought in a couple of 20-year-olds and Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna. But really, that's tough to win, too. So I think over the last 6 years, when you look at the track record of the staff ERA being at best 22nd in Major League Baseball in any one season, that's the issue right there.
Yeah, you talked about pitching. It makes it hard. It just makes it hard to manage the game. I don't think people understand that. You can't, as a manager, you've got to put any coach, and you coach basketball, so you know this. The idea is you put your players in a position where they can succeed. That's your job as a manager. You can't do it once the game's going. You can't go out in the field and throw the ball for them or catch the ball, but you've got to put them in a position to succeed. And I kind of feel bad for John Gibbons because the guys aren't, when he puts players in a position to succeed, it's just not working.
Small sample. You're Mike Socia. You bring in Smith and Houston Street in back-to-back games. You look pretty good as a manager.
Sure.
You're John Gibbons, and you're on the road in Houston. You bring in Jeff Francis to face 2 left-handed hitters. That doesn't work. 2 base hits. You bring in Liam Hendricks to face Chris Carter. It's a 3-run home run. That's your difference.
That's it exactly. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590 is the hour of Howarth. We're joined in studio by Jerry Howarth, the voice of the Blue Jays. As we said earlier, Devin Travis has been placed in the DL. Munenori Kawasaki called up. He will be with the team in time for tonight's first game against the Seattle Mariners. I want to talk a little bit about Devin Travis because I'll say one thing for him. When that injury occurred, I had a player in the team tell me, I just don't know how the guy went back out there. You know, we were talking about the ability to play hurt and everything. I really like what I've seen from Devin Travis, but I really liked what I saw there too. I like the fact that I'm going to give it a go. You know, I'm not going to milk it for a couple of weeks. I'm going to give it a go. Let's see if it works. Maybe I can't do anything with it. I think you learned a lot about Devin Travis, didn't you?
I liked him from day one. I didn't really know him at all with the Tigers. He was in their minor league system. But from the first day in spring training, you see someone who's got energy, passion, life, friendliness. They connect with you right away. He's one of those players. And then you see him successful. Mm-hmm. And then you see him when he's not successful, battling back. That's a key, too. Can you overcome some adversity? And he never gives in to life, let alone baseball. And
that's
those are
point.
The players you want.
That's a good point. before we get to the phone lines, I wanted to ask you as well, just in general, about this division, because, you know, you look at what the Blue Jays have done lately, and I mean, until yesterday, they'd lost, what, 7 of 8, and they dropped half a game in the standings. I can't remember, Jerry, the last time the American League East has been like this. You've covered the American League East a lot longer than I have, but I can't remember the last time where I've looked at the American League East and go, there's not a good team in this division.
Well, let's put it this way, and I believe Tampa Bay leads the division yes. right now. It's never been like this, so it's not how far back it goes. It's never been like this. The Blue Jays are 4.5 back there in last place. Next is Colorado, 8 back of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's your next, and then everybody else is further from first to last in the other four divisions. So it's one of those years, but in looking at it this way too, this is how I view it. The Blue Jays, to be a contender, first of all, you have to get 10 games over 500. People always say, well, they're close to the second wild card and they're here, their record, they're 5 games under 500. No. You have to not only be at 500, but you have to be 10 games over, where then you can say, this is a team that's going to play meaningful games in September. Look at the Central Division. For me, the division winner and the two wild cards are going to come out of that division with Kansas City, Detroit, and look what Paul Molitor's done with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. After his first two games ever managing, they don't score a run. They go 1-6 over the first 7 games. He has turned that around. So is it him? Well, he's part of it, but it's other factors as well that he has that other managers do not have. But you put it all together, now you've got something.
Let's go to the phone lines, 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Rocky and Markham, one of my favorites. You're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, say hello to Jerry Howarth.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are doing well.
Thank you. Watching last night's performance, the Jays needed, they really needed that performance from R.A. Dickey, because you know what? The bullpen has been worn out throughout the season thus far, and it's still early. So I believe that Marco Estrada is pitching tonight, and we know that Seattle has a pitcher, a player named Nelson Cruz, and so far he's been the triple crown in the AL. And do you have concerns with Estrada still pitching for the Blue Jays? Because I prefer seeing him in the bullpen, and I would love to see Daniel Norris getting called up, because we know that his potential has so much upside, and I believe Randy Wolf is also doing well for the Blue Jays. So I would like to hear your perspective and what you think the Jays should do about that.
Well, thanks, Rocky. That's a good call. I think overall what you want Daniel Norris to do is, when he comes back the next time, be ready to never go back down again. And that might take another starter too, instead of rushing him like maybe he was rushed to start off with here, what with Marco, with Marcus Stroman's injury. And then after that, Marco Estrada, he's got experience. Now, last year, part of that experience, when his 18 starts as a swing man with Milwaukee, was giving up a major league high 29 home runs. And we've seen that here too. But his last couple of starts, he's gone a solid 5 innings. And so right now, as a spot starter, he's good. And if he can continue to do that and go 5 innings or 6 and give up 3 runs, maybe even 4 if he gets some run support, while you wait for Norris to command his pitches and get better in AAA, then you've got what you want ideally for the rest of the season. Let me say this too. When I see young pitchers come up, the first thing that I look at is, do they have 450 innings in the minor leagues?
Mm-hmm.
This is the ideal for a franchise. The Tampa Bay Rays are outstanding that way. They go one step at a time. They take a draft pick. They start in low A, then double A, then triple A. And in those 4 years, they log 450 to 550, 600 innings. Then they come to Tampa Bay. Now, the Rays' salary, their payroll structure is pretty low when you consider everything that is happening to them in Major League Baseball. But when you bring kids in like Norris, I think, had 330 innings, it's tough to learn at this level, Major League Baseball. So the development process has been rushed for whatever reasons, and that hurts some of these kids. And so that's the way I would look at that right now. You're kind of in a holding pattern with Estrada. You get the best that you get while you wait for Norris to develop.
And what I also, the thing I like about Marco Estrada, and I'm with you, I think especially when you get a start like you got last night from the guy in front of him, he looks like a real good spot starter. But I like some of the stuff I saw to him in the bullpen, and I think the guy is going to be a useful arm for this team. But I'm with you when it comes to Norris. I would like to see, I'm not going to say I'd like to see him delayed, the Jays delayed as long as they possibly can, Jerry, but I'd like to see a couple more starts in AAA and a body of evidence that suggests that he's, as you say, ready to come up and stay up as opposed to just good enough to come up and make a couple of starts and then have to go down again.
Well, this is what hurt with the trading of Jay Happ. Then that means that someone else has to take that spot. And then when Stroman has his unfortunate injury, you lose two starters from your five-man rotation last year. And that's tough for anybody to overcome. So right now, Daniel Norris has to try to get it together. But remember, too, in AAA or any minor league stats, don't fall in love with those numbers because they are what they are. They're not nearly as good as when you get to this particular level. And now things speed up considerably. And even Randy Wolf, for all of his experience and doing well in AAA, he should be getting people out right there. And then after that, if he does come up, it's a different story altogether to get major league hitters out under these circumstances.
I should mention, by the way, that speaking of minor leaguers, Dalton Pompey, John Gibbons told us yesterday, Dalton Pompey hurt his knee, wrenched his knee, I believe it was Wednesday. And he, according to John, nothing serious, but I just wanted to throw that out there, that he wrenched his knee, but they said nothing serious.
Well, I saw just a couple of days ago in the Buffalo Bisons win where he was playing, he was 0 for 4, I think, hitting 200.
Yeah.
Here again, it's a development process.
Yep.
You just can't jump from AA to the major leagues as Pompey did and go right into center field and start. If it were that easy, everybody would be doing that.
Do you think we overestimated the young guys coming out of spring training? Or was it, as I said, maybe just so excited to see all these young arms, because we've been hankering for that since Escobar, Carpenter, and Halliday. We've been hankering to have that sort of supply of young arms. Do you think we got carried away, or was it kind of understandable?
I think in spring training, everyone gets carried away because it's so positive, and everybody's won 20 games, and everybody's saved 40, and the numbers in their backgrounds look so good. But with a salt of reality, you just have to kind of pull back and just say, let's see what happens. This is why in our discussions earlier, I said, let's wait till June 1st for a lot of these questions. Mm-hmm. We're approaching June 1st, and look where the Blue Jays are. It's the reality of baseball at this level. And so can a winning team have one or two rookies? Yes. But when you start to put that many out of the field or on your pitching staff, they're going to have to learn the hard way. And especially with the rookies that the Blue Jays have had, where they don't have a lot of developmental innings in their minor league careers, that makes it doubly difficult. And look who's leading the Blue Jays in appearances right now. Roberto Osuna, who's 20 and has already had Tommy John surgery, that's not what the ideal is, too, when you get to that situation.
No, God bless Roberto Osuna, because this team would be in, they'd be in a even a worse state without him right now.
So now look at this scenario here. If Roberto Osuna is on a team of experienced players and experienced pitchers. Okay, that's the one rookie you say, boy, he has really stood out.
Yeah.
But he's benefiting from everybody else around him. And maybe one player in that category, too. But beyond that, it's asking a lot to have everybody do that. When you talk about the excitement or over-assessing people in spring training, yes, that can happen. I think it did here.
Don in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, say hello to Jerry Howarth.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Good.
Good, good, good. Been listening to you, and I like your knowledge and what you've brought to the Philly listening audience here. I'd like to ask a question, and I want to touch on a couple key points that you've raised. You touch on the staff's ERA over the last 6 years, okay? You've also talked about the rush of the pitchers coming to the majors, and why there's a rush, we don't know. Is it a thing to say or to think that Antopoulos, being the baseball mind that he is, and everybody applaud him, big, this guy's so big, having those stats, knowing what the staff ERA has been for all these years, was it his idea to select this young pitching staff heading north this year, given the fact that this year is a make-it-or-break-it year for the Blue Jays? What kind of a pitching staff would you be looking at? Would you have all these young players rushed into the minors? Is that fair to us as fans listening, hoping to have a good year this year, only to realize, and mind you, you might not know what the bullpen will give you, of course, but at least go with the logics and not just going with what you feel like with such a great mind. I think the buck stops with Anthopoulos, and I think some heads should have been rolling at the end of the season. What's your comment on that?
Thank you, Don.
Well, I think overall, Don, the Blue Jays could have acquired much more pitching over the last 6 years. And I think even when John Farrell was here, a former pitcher, the addition of additional pitchers maybe wasn't there to the liking of what John wanted, too. And I think he would love to have had more pitching. John Gibbons probably would love to have more pitching. And I think when you do look over the last five-plus seasons, this being the sixth season, the pitching depth hasn't been there. You can only rely so much on your draft picks. And ideally, you're looking for impact draft players in your draft. And if that hasn't happened, then you have to acquire some pitching, i.e., I look at the Angels with Joe Smith and Houston Street. It's not easy. On the surface, it looks pretty easy. But I do think over the last 6 years, Jeff and Don, that the acquiring of pitchers, veteran pitchers, could have been stronger to make the team better without the big offense. The big offense is there. The Blue Jays lead the major leagues in runs scored. But when you have an ERA among starters and your staff giving up 5 runs a game and you're scoring 5.2 runs a game, you're going to lose a lot of your games where you're scoring 4 runs or fewer, and that's where the Blue Jays sit right now.
Yeah, look, Don, I've said, again, I've thrown this out there, that it's not my money and I don't make the decisions. But were it my money and were I making the decisions, I would have gone on, I would have really gone after Andrew Miller this year in the offseason. I know people say, you know, you can put a bullpen together. You don't want to spend a lot of money on a bullpen. You can kind of find guys to do it. Maybe, but when I looked at this team, I thought, I've got to have either a strong bullpen or a real strong rotation. I can't go into the season with question marks in both parts of the game. And I'm not saying Andrew Miller solves everything, but it would have been nice if the organization could have brought an arm like that in to the back end of the game. But, you know, Jerry, you made a point about the trading for pitchers. And one thing that I think maybe doesn't get talked about enough is this organization hasn't done a very good job of developing position players. And quite often when you trade for a pitcher, you're trading a position player because it doesn't really make sense all the time to trade two young pitchers for one established pitcher. And that, quite frankly, is on the general manager and the development people. They haven't developed an everyday ball player. I mean, is Adam Lind the last everyday ball player they've developed?
Probably. And I do want to add this, too, because some fans are probably listening saying, well, what about 2 years ago when Alex acquired R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley? Well, as we talked the last time I was here, that was for ideally a situation where for then and maybe the next year you get to the playoffs, and had the Blue Jays reached the playoffs and maybe even gotten into the second round or close to a World Series berth. Now you look at a trade like that for a Danny Echevarria, who's now playing short for the Marlins and hitting better than 300 at last count, or Noah Syndergaard, who's now pitching for the New York Mets, and you like his potential, or Henderson Alvarez, who's already thrown a no-hitter for the Miami Marlins. That would have been a good trade if Dickey and Burley combined with 23 others to get you to the playoffs. But because it didn't happen, and the Blue Jays played under 500 ball 1 year and last year won 83 games, that window begins to close because those pitchers are older. So Alex tried to do that. It didn't work out.
Yeah, and let's also be clear, and Alex himself will admit that the impetus for that trade was Josh Johnson. That didn't work out.
That didn't work out at all. So the acquisition of pitchers are important, but what you say is true, too. When the Boston Red Sox won those two World Series in 04 and 07, you look on the field, impact players, Jacoby Ellsbury, Dustin Pedroia, the list is endless.
Jason Veritek.
All of them.
Yeah.
Veritek came in a trade from Seattle Mariners.
That's right, from the Mariners. You're right.
But impact players, Jonathan Papelbon, Clay Buchholz, all the rest of them right on down the line. There were 7 or 8 impact players from their draft. So you can draft people, but unless you get impact players who are on the field, and now they're with you for 6+ years, like Pedroia, others, at that particular point, if you've got that base, and Pat Gillick had that here too, then you can acquire others, and then with a strong base and a strong foundation, get to the playoffs and then do well.
Let's go to Calvin and Lindsay. You're on Sportsnet 590 Fan. Say hello to Jerry Howarth, Calvin.
Hi, guys. I have a question. It's not really about today, but I think I'm hoping it'll be an interesting one. It's kind of a part A, part B. I go see the Jays. I've never seen a baseball game outside of, say, Rogers Center. Mm-hmm. And I sat all over the place there, down on the field, on first baseline, up at the top. Like, and I really like that place. And I understand it's a little old, but I guess my question is, Jerry, and I guess, Jeff, I know how you feel about Fenway Park, but, Jerry, you've been around a long time, and you've been to all the parks. In your opinion, what is the best overall baseball park to watch a game in, and why? And, again, what's your guys' opinion and why on Rogers Center as a baseball park?
Well, Calvin, to answer your first question, the best ballpark to ever go to and watch a game is when that team is winning.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I would love to go down to one of the historical parks and even the new Yankees park and watch the Jays play. I do want to do that, but anyways.
I'll tell you, I have always told people, I think the city is an underrated gem. I've taken my family to it. I traveled to it extensively when I covered the National League. I think Pittsburgh and PNC Park, to me, that would be my favorite park in baseball. It's just, it's on a night, well, you've been there, Jerry, on a night where it's clear and people are walking over the Clemente Bridge and you've got the river and the boats. It's just, to me, it's the best.
Well, it is. And to answer Calvin's second question here, the best park is when you go to watch your team and they're winning.
Right.
No question about that. But as far as the Rogers Center, that was pretty favorably reviewed when for three straight years they drew over 4 million fans. So let's put that in perspective, too. The only thing I would like to see at the Rogers Center, and I mentioned this to both Paul Beeston a few years ago and Andrew Tinnish this last year, and it's not my money. Tell sponsor TD, hey, we love what you do, and we love that dark green color. Let's do all the seats green and change the look of the Rogers Center because of you, and we'll help you with sponsorship, or we'll rename it the TD Bank Center, whatever you want to talk about. It's not my money. But mm-hmm. I think if all those seats were dark green like most every other ballpark, people would want to come in and see it. But still, the bottom line would be winning. I like Fenway Park. I like Camden Yards. I like Safeco Field. Here's another problem, too. We just came from seeing the Blue Jays play the Astros at Minute Maid Park, which is a retractable dome stadium with real grass and dirt. Mm-hmm. And they had the grow lights on afterwards. I know the Blue Jays would love to do that. But when you mentioned PNC Park, and for me, Target Field's another one, I think today, and for me, global warming, I've been here 34 years, I think now you could build a park like that outdoors here. Sure, there'd be some cold nights in April, no question about it. But I think in the city of Toronto right now, you could go that route and change everything, have an outdoor ballpark that everybody would enjoy, save for those few times when it's cold. But you know what? In Minnesota and Pittsburgh and places like that, it's mm-hmm. cold too in April.
Yeah, it's, at some point we're going to have a discussion. At some point we're going to have a discussion about a new ballpark in Toronto. We just are, because the Rogers Centre is, it's old. It's old compared to other parks in baseball. You know, Jerry, I know there's talk about grass going in. Shai Davidi had a story that at the very least there's talk about putting a dirt infield in, which I'm told could in fact happen in time for next year, and much as they've done in Tampa. But I always tell people, Jerry, you're talking to a guy who spent 10 years at Olympic Stadium. So when it comes to talking about bad ballparks, I just excuse myself from the discussion because I was spent 10 years at Olympic Stadium.
Well, what used to be freezing Aprils are now better, much better mm-hmm. over since I can benchmark it 34 years ago, having lived here all year round for 34 years. And the artificial turf, no matter if it's new, old, or whatever, it's the only one other than with Tampa Bay where you have that situation. So when you were talking about Mike Babcock here and then you were talking about players wanting to come here now there's a different era with the Mike Babcock signing right here. Well, that's the same thing, too, with the Blue Jays. Unless you're winning and going to World Series where Jack Morris, Dave Winfield, Paul Molitor, Dave Stewart say, I want to go there because I have a chance to mm-hmm. win. I don't care what the surface is or whatever. And I like what I see. That might be something where right now a player might say, well, they're not winning and it's an artificial turf. Do I want to go there? Even thinking about it takes away maybe from players with exceptions like Russ Martin who right. say, I want to go to Toronto. Well, maybe in the future that could change a little bit for the better.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. It is the hour of Howarth. We have Jerry Howarth in studio. For the rest of the hour, we'll get back to your calls. when the Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We are back. 20 minutes left in the hour of Howarth. Jerry Howarth, the voice of the Blue Jays, joining me in studio right up to Baseball Central. John Gibbons, field manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. When did people stop calling them field manager? Because I always used to call guys field managers, even when I started out. I don't know why. Anyhow, John Gibbons, field manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, will join us at 11:15. Wanted to ask you about Josh Donaldson, our good friend Dave Perkins, whose baseball acumen I have an awful lot of respect for. He was talking the other day about Josh Donaldson, and he said, and Dave has gusts of cynicism every now and then, shall we say. He was talking about Josh Donaldson. He said, you know, other than Roberto Alomar, I don't know if I've seen the Jays with a better all-round ball player than this guy. How do you view Josh Donaldson?
Well, I just talked to Josh a couple of days ago. From spring training on, I've gotten to know him. And I told him the other day, I said, Josh, I didn't know you at all when you were at Oakland, but now that you're here, I see who you are. You are a risk taker and a playmaker. This is what DeMarlo Hale calls him. You saw the other day, he was the game. He drove in two runs, a home run and a sacrifice fly. Then he made the valiant effort to try to tag Eric Ibar going by him at third. It didn't work out, and Ibar scored the third run. They won it 3-2. But I told Josh, I said, every team should have 25 players like you because you're all out, you're here to win, you're a no-nonsense guy, and yet at the same time you connect with everybody, you're fun in the clubhouse, people enjoy who you are, but your bottom line here is to win, and that's what you do. And I said, that's the greatest thing about you, and I respect that because every team should have Josh Donaldson up and down the lineup. He said, thanks, Jerry, I really appreciate that. That's what I can say about him. Everything else regarding comparisons from Roberto Alomar to anybody else, that doesn't really hold up for me as much as who he is, and mm-hmm. you need players like that more and more on your roster.
He has, he and Russell Martin have really come as advertised, haven't they, in terms of what people around their organizations were telling us.
Yes, and now and look at it this way, too. Now, that's two players, core players, mm-hmm. and now Russ is going to be here for 5 years and Donaldson for four. This is year one. They came in different routes. One acquired free agency, Russ, and then the other traded for, and that was Donaldson. That's where the Blue Jays need more of those players. Now, what you're talking about, too, had there been a couple of impact players from the draft, now you've got four instead of two. So you're looking at now trying to put it all together, and it's difficult to do. But those two players, if that's the beginning of adding on, I'm going back to Mike Babcock here, he's going to add on in year one of year two of year eight all the way on down the line. That's what it is, Jeff, for me. It's a process of every year, are you adding on a couple of players and a pitcher in baseball terms to get better so that in 2 or 3 years, like the Houston Astros, look where they are now, then you have a going concern.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Jose in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning. Nice to be on with both of you.
Good to have you.
Actually, before I go on, I also like to remind you guys that Jake Marisnik playing center field for the Houston Astros.
Yes.
Was hitting over 300 with 11 stolen bases, and he looks pretty good. Put Kobe Rasmus in left field. A couple of things. You know, going into this offseason, as the great Pat Gillick once said, you never have enough pitching. And it drives me nuts when I hear people say, oh, Stroman went down. Show me a major league staff that doesn't lose one or two vital pitchers every year. And I can't understand for the life of me why we have a hitting lineup that's ready to win right now and a pitching staff that's ready to win in 5 years. And I hope to goodness that we don't start making panic moves now and start trading away these young pitchers who I believe are going to be very, very good. As a matter of fact, I'd like to see the Jays go the opposite. Start trading away some of the hitters. Look, we're not going to win right now. We don't have a staff ace. We don't have a closer. We have a medium defensive team. You simply don't win. You look at in the division. Who's got the best pitching staff? At Tampa. Who's got the best defense in the division? Tampa. Who's got timely hitting? Tampa. They're going to win the division. I guarantee you they will win the division. This game has not changed in 100 years. The Jays are a hitting team first, pitching second, defense third. I'll hang up and listen to you, gentlemen.
I think Jose has some points. He's got an opinion.
Well,
he
does, and he's got passion, and that's what you want. Baseball, the thing I learned from John Gibbons when I first met John years ago, he said, Jerry, ask me anything, because you can talk about anything and everything in the game of baseball. Nothing is black and white. There's always something you can debate or talk about. And when John opened it up that way, that tells you about John, too. He's very open to, this is a game where there are no concrete terms. You can have some opinions or whatever, but I like Jose's passion right here. As he was talking right there, I began to think about Dave Dombrowski and the Detroit Tigers. They have traded away starter Doug Fister. Max Scherzer has left here as a free agent. They have traded away Drew Smyly, a left-handed pitcher. They've also acquired some pitching, too. David Price was part of that deal. And where are the Tigers? They're right there, one of the top three best teams in baseball. And what have they done? They've traded pitching to acquire other areas and needs because they have depth in their farm system, and that's how you do that, where you have and the Tampa Bay Rays are the same way. They have developed their pitchers so that when you get to the point where you use them, they help you win, and then if you need to trade them, they help you win as well. So it's all part of an organizational thing, Jeff. It doesn't get down to like one game or one season or whatever, and what Jose is talking about there is true. The Blue Jays just have not had the depth to overcome some of these trades where they've traded some quality pitchers and the return hasn't been what they wanted to get over the hump.
Yeah, it's just so obvious when you look at what we like to call model organizations. You look at, I'm thinking specifically of St. Louis, which to me is if you're going to pick an organization to follow, you follow the Cardinals. And you just, if you have young, cost-controlled, homegrown pitching, everything good comes from that, whether you're talking about trading pitchers to address an issue or developing pitchers to the point where you can have a homegrown staff. And I really think, I know, and John Farrell mentions, we talked about the importance of having homegrown pitching. And he said, you know, the other thing people don't quite often realize is when you do that, he said, you have intelligence about those pitchers. And you know the good, you know the bad. And you know how to manage the bad. Part of the job is managing the bad as well as the good, because nobody's perfect. There isn't a perfect player out there, and it's how you make it all work. And I think that explains why a lot of those teams have success, because when you know that, like Trevor Rosenthal is a perfect example. We'll make him a reliever. The right call. What Tampa does mostly and St. Louis does mostly, Jerry, is they make the right call in their pitchers. This guy, we're going to have him as a starter. This guy's going on the bullpen. This guy's good, but you know what? We can get a second baseman if we trade him right now.
Well, look at this, too. Game 6 of the 1992 World Series, put together by Pat Gillick, managed by Cito Gaston. Todd Stottlemyre, David Wells, Jimmy Key, three starters. You know what they did in that game? They all pitched in relief. The one acquired pitcher, David Cone, started. That took four starters to win that final game of the World Series. That's how deep Pat Gillick put that together. But Wells, you take a look at Wells, Jimmy Key, they were all homegrown. Same thing with, well, the other pitcher I just mentioned right there, too. I'm getting older right now with my memory. But when you take a look at Stottlemyre, Key and Wells, they were all homegrown. And they were starters. That's your base right there that you work from. Then you can acquire somebody outside your organization like Cone did. But that's where it all begins and ends right there, with starting pitching that you can use in relief to win a World Series. Wow.
Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, Jerry. And listening to that, we're almost there with our kid pitching, aren't we? We got so many so close. I just get frustrated when everybody gets upset with this team. Jerry, I wanted to ask you about Hendricks. I noticed Gibby's been slipping him in the ninth, and he's gone 9-9. He threw one game there, 7-8, but back 9-8. I noticed he's up to 95, they're saying, on the gun. Do you see Gibby looking at him maybe as a closer?
No, I don't. I think Liam has done a nice job in his role here as a Blue Jay. Last year he was a spot starter and then ended up in Kansas City, got some experience right there, and was with their AAA championship team as well, and went to the World Series and was a spectator there, but he got that experience. I think certain pitchers have certain roles, and I think Liam Hendricks' role right now is a good one for him, but you can't expand those roles. I saw that with Todd Redman the other day. He got called up, went 3 1/3 scoreless, hitless innings as a starter, and then he gave up 3 or 4 runs, and he was designated for assignment. Jeff France, the same thing, was asked to pitch in long relief. Probably his best role was situational left-hander. And then what happens, Jeff, is as you start to expand those roles and you're John Gibbons and you're looking for help in almost a desperate way, now when you get beyond that role, you're not the same pitcher. So I wouldn't move Hendricks at all. He's certainly not in that closer's role, but when he gave up the home run the other day to Chris Carter, I think you see, too, that he is who he is, and you have to work with what you have to put him in situations that are the best for him and for the team.
Jerry, the hour went by really quickly. We apologize to those of you who are still on the line. We'll do it again, though.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you here, and go home and rest up the pipes. You've got a big, should be an interesting weekend with Seattle in town. King Felix tonight, that'll be a good show. And James Paxton, this is going to be an interesting series. The Mariners are a fun team.
And James Paxton, there's a Blue Jays number one pick that they didn't sign.
There is a Blue Jays number one pick they didn't sign. I want to thank Jerry Howarth for joining us in studio today.